Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to the man's voice. As we get together with our show today, I'll remind you that if you would like to join in for some of the conversation we're having, the number is 646-668-8740. With that number, if we're not talking about stuff that you think we should be talking, you just dial that number and join us for a conversation. Welcome the guys. I think we have several of the panelists on right now. I think we just bought in Jeremiah. So there's Don, there's Jeremiah, there's Michael, and now there's Ron. Welcome, guys. Let's kick it off. Everybody was talking about the show last week. And there's Bruce. Okay. So the show last week, and it came back again to schools. It seems like a lot of people are concerned about schools and our comments that we made. I want to play something for you, and this is Dr. Carol Swain. I'll explain to her, but she's one of the African Americans for Trump group of people. But listen to what she's saying, because the CDC is putting out guidelines for schools to open those that Trump wants to open. So let's listen to what she's got to say.
On Capitol Hill, joining us now, former professor, Dr. Carol Swain. Dr. Swain, good morning to you. Now, we hope that something will get unveiled. It looks like the most recent COVID package has about $105 billion for the schools. What are your thoughts as Congress tries to get its act together, and will that be enough?
Well, first of all, if you look at what world experts are saying, like the American Academy of Pediatricians, the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto, experts in the UK, children are not at risk of either contracting or spreading COVID-19. They need to get back to school. There's great risk for them staying at home. It disrupts the family structure. It disrupts learning, and it hurts the poorest children most of all because they don't have the resources for their parents to hire someone to help them while they work.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Swain, obviously children are not at as much risk as adults, but there's always still risk of contracting it, and some of the kids have developed some inflammatory conditions. So that, of course, is lingering in the back of some parents' minds. But I want to ask you, you're a former professor, what are your thoughts on how this could potentially be implemented in a school? Is there social distancing? Would that even work? Would kids be able to wear a mask for hours on end during the day? Because some parents have concerns that if they send their kids to school, are those kids really going to get good in-person learning with so many guidelines that the teachers will have to implement in a classroom setting?
Again, I go back to what I said earlier. There's plenty of experts out there worldwide saying that children are not more likely to contract the disease or to spread it. And, of course, there will always be children that have pre-existing conditions. They would have to take more precautions. But this whole idea that you have to just totally rearrange a school with the social distancing, requiring small children to wear masks, it's not supported by the science. Everything we're doing with COVID-19, coronavirus, politics underlies everything. And whether we like it or not, there are people that don't care about the children. They care about the election, and they see an opportunity to hurt President Trump by keeping everything shut down. And so whatever is taking place in Congress, it's not about our nation's health. It's not about the children first. It's about political agendas. Unfortunately, that's the way it is in America today.
Carol, you've experienced personally and written a book about politics in education.
All right, guys. I want to discuss that because this lady is saying that kids don't get the virus, but tell me if you put a bunch of kids together, in my mind, that's going to spike. There are over 91,000 people who have died from corona, and some of those are young kids. So let me jump in. Don, what are your thoughts on what this doctor is saying?
David, I live in South Florida, and South Florida is one of the epic centers in the world with this pandemic, and people are dying. People are sick. Now, this virus disproportionately affects people of color, number one. Number two, there's no scientific proof that young people cannot catch this virus. We seem to be more concentrated on the rich and powerful in Upper Florida to cancel a convention opposed to looking out for our future children. All it takes is a group of children getting together and that virus spread among the schools. And then what makes it so bad, our Secretary of Education is more concerned about private schools and also charter schools, not public schools. They're not even prepared with PPE, masks, and all the things that we need to protect these children. It's a travesty. But I'll tell you what, in South Florida, they're going to do virtual training, virtual school. It's not going to open in South Florida.
All right. What about you there, Bruce? What are your thoughts on what the doctor had said about we need to open the schools back up because kids are not? But aren't there like teachers and counselors and adults? And anyway, what are your thoughts?
David, yes, there the health experts, the teacher unions, and us, all of us, parents and people on the outside, we all have different opinions. They're all over the board. I would tend to agree with Don in let's use South Florida as one of the hottest spots in the country right now, which it is. So I would agree with Don in the fact that that approach might be a very good way to start in a hot spot. But there are a number of places all over the country, more than hot, are cold or at best lukewarm, if we can use that analogy. And they need to find ways, I think, to start getting children back physically into schools in those areas. It could be where they rotate days in and out, you know, not the typical school that we used to have. There might be some that are typical in the old vernacular and not, but different ways to handle that. And not only states, but cities and school districts know how to do that. Now, if it's a lack of material or items or sanitation things or protection, then that's part of the problem that needs to be solved before they do that. But I think keeping everybody home until there is a cure or a vaccine or whatever the case may be, that's no guarantee either. So having said that, are we going to keep kids all home for, what, a year, 2 years? That would be devastating. Most parents, as much as they're scared about sending their kids back, like up here in Michigan, they overwhelmingly want to send them back. And who better to know the investment and the vulnerability of their own children than their parents? So I think that the movement is towards we've got to get children back into school, different ways in different places at different degrees. It's not a simple answer. It's not one thing for all. That's my take on it right now.
Okay, so I throw this question out to the table. If a parent if they say the kids need to go back to school, if a parent decides that their child should not be in that environment, will the parent be held accountable some legal way? Do you think there should be a guideline for letting parents who believe their kids can go versus parents who believe their kids could not go? What do you think, Ron?
Well, first let me say that I think both Bruce and Don are right in what they said, and I agree with them. And I think that the lady that you played her recording, I think she's partially right in some respects, in her statement that poor kids, inner city kids, by not going back to school, will probably be impacted more than those who are not poor and disadvantaged. I don't have any scientific proof of that, but it makes total sense. You know, in fact, this morning I was thinking, you know, what if, you know, there's a huge population of underprivileged children in Miami-Dade County, for example, and what if they don't have good connectivity at home? How are they going to connect virtually to the classrooms? So, but I think the statement that she made, that it's political and that a lot of people out there don't care about our kids, is absolutely ridiculous and pathetic. So I have to throw that out there. I think, you know, Don is right. You know, down here in South Florida, particularly Miami-Dade and Broward counties, Broward County, which is the nation's fifth largest school system, they've already decided 100%. They're going to online school starting this new school year. Miami-Dade County, Bruce, and actually David, answering your question too, giving the options to parents, they still haven't 100% decided, but they did a survey, and they did the same thing in Broward County, and it's about a third of the parents want their kids to go back to school 100% of the time. About a third of the parents want the kids not to go to school at all and do distance learning and virtual learning. And then about a third want a mixed bag. So, you know, maybe a couple of days they go to school and a couple of days and the rest of the time they do virtual learning. So I think Bruce is right. It's got to be looked at, you know, by communities. You can't just say, you know, that the same applies to, you know, Ocala, Florida, for example, as it does to Miami, Florida, because that's simply not the case. My last comment is, maybe to stir the pot a little bit, is had we gotten things right from the very beginning, we would not have to be making this decision like a lot of European countries. Their kids, they're going back to school, no problems, no issues. And yet here we are almost in August and in parts of the country, but actually a huge part of the country, the virus is still spreading, and it's well above the 10% or 5%, whatever it is, infection rate that the CDC guidelines recommend. In South Florida, it's more like 20%. Infection rate. So there's no way you can open up schools like that.
All right. What about you? Let me hear from Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you're not in that mix right now, but just being as a young person on the outside who trying to put a family together, what are your thoughts on the direction we're going here?
There's a few things that come to mind. First, I would say, based on decision, I think there's a few parents out there that want their kids to return to school due to not having a babysitter, not having no one at home, so they can't go and provide for their family. It might not be strictly education or strictly the virus. It's just more of I'm babysitting when I should have been my child should be in school. Not saying babysitting, but my child should be in school. I'm not freed up to go make money, provide for the family on a single household, stuff like that. And then another thing that comes to mind is, you know, we do have kids with compromised immune systems or, you know, other debilitating factors when it comes to immune systems and possibly getting sick. And then, you know, I think there should be options because there are kids that can excel in online only. But there should be an option, because I guarantee you 10 out of 10 students don't learn the same. So there needs to be an option where, you know, certain days, certain schedules of, you know, a few kids that can come in and get, you know, one-on-one with a with an instructor, a teacher, a tutor, whoever it is, because sometimes in these families, in the households, the parents might not have as much time, because, you know, you're going to need more time with your child because there's no teacher time. So instead of the usual maybe 1 hour a day, because she's going, your child's going to school every day, now it needs to turn to 2.5 hours a day because it's online learning. It's not as dependable. So there's a lot of factors. I just, the people that make these decisions, we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't make any political decisions. We should make decisions based on demographic and what's going on with this pandemic, and you know. But
all right.
I hope we can get things back.
Spencer, I know that you're in this mix right now. What are your thoughts? Spencer, as soon as I called his name, dropped off. Wow.
You scared the guy. Come on.
I know.
You scared him out.
I know. He wasn't ready to answer that question. All right, guys. I want to – wait, Gary, he just came back. So, Spencer, we saw you sneak out. What is up with that?
Well, actually, it just hung up on me, and I was thinking that something happened, but I don't know what happened there. I'm in a basement.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, we know somebody else is in the basement, Spencer.
All right, Spencer. What
was the question? It just completely went out when Jeremiah was speaking. So did you ask the question? What was the question?
It was the original question that when you were in. You know, what are your thoughts on what we're talking about, taking kids back to school? You know, this professor who said that she's one of Trump's people, so they're with putting kids in school and following CDC guidelines or not. What are your thoughts? I know we talked about this last week, but it's getting closer and closer. The school is about to come on now, and the other question is, will a parent have the option to send their kid to school or not? And if they don't, does that mean that they get in trouble because they're not sending their kids to school? What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with a lot Jeremiah said, and at least here in Georgia, the counties are giving the parents the options. Our county gave us the option to either do online or our kids go to schools. I think in Fulton and Cobb County, they elected the first 2 or 3 weeks to be virtual online or something like that. Then they're trying to transition the kids in school. But I just think, you know, with our little girl, she's staying home. We've been doing homeschooling all summer to keep her fresh from everything she has missed in the spring. And I just think it's to what you can provide your sons and daughter or your kids at that moment. If you was laid off and now you're going back to work, you know, that affects, you know, do you have babysitters, do you not? And not to say that you will want your child to go back to school, but if you don't have any choice. You know, fortunately, we have that option. You know, she's working from home, and they gave her, you know, she's been working from home this whole time. So she has that option so that, you know, she can stay home and we could homeschool her. And like I said, it's been going on through the whole summer. It's not just something we've been doing now. And it's also, you know, if the person has family members that also wants to see that child develop more as far as school. Like if I was to, can you babysit my child? Are they also going to have that type of drive to want to see your kid develop in school? Because if they don't, then it would just hinder them. And like in other cases, you have families that probably don't have Wi-Fi, don't have all that online stuff, so they're not able to do it. And like I said, they probably don't even want their kids to go back, but they just have no other choice. So I just think it's based on the situation you're in and if you have enough time or if you're home, I mean, if you're working from home, do you still have the time to have your child next to you to give them what they need to be able to grow in this time? So, and I just think it's a lot of factors. So I'm not, like I said, we're not sending ours to school because we could do it from home, and the county offers that option. And I think it's up until October. We could do it up until October to decide if they could go back, depending on the situation, if it gets worse or if it gets better. But they were saying kids can't contract it. What I'm thinking is I heard on the radio that a lot of teachers in Orlando were signing their wills already because they could contract it from just being around other teachers, the principal, just other staff members. You don't know where they've been or how they've been handled. I mean, what they've touched and things like that. So the teachers can get it, and I'm pretty sure they could give it to the kids. It's not just for elementary school. It's for high school also, and even college kids. We're seeing a whole lot of just here in University of Georgia, the president was telling the kids, you know, more than 100 kids have tested positive because they're out partying and stuff like that. And that could affect the whole system as far as if that professor has a child that's going to school, and let's say one of the kids that was out partying gives it to the professor goes home, give it to his whole family, don't know it, and, you know, that kid goes back to elementary school, and then it's just a domino effect, and that's how all this has been coming, you know, just been ramping up. So, like I said, I just think it's each his own. I would prefer the child to stay home and to social distance. And you also have to how well are they sanitizing the schools? You know, are they sanitizing all the material constantly, effectively? All those things also play a part. So I think if the county, I think all counties should have that option to give the parent the option to homeschool, not make it mandatory. I would say that. I don't think it should be a mandatory thing that all kids go back, and I don't think they should be penalized and things like that. Because in my county that I'm in, Cherokee County, if a kid missed one or two days in Cherokee County, they're sending DCF to your front door. You know, they send a DCF to your front door, want to know what's going on with your kids. So, but I think since they give that option, they won't be doing that. But I don't know about other counties and other states, but I don't think it should be mandatory that kids go back to school.
So we have no, as a nation, if you're sending DCF, instead of the counselor calling, you know, instead of making scare tactics, why don't we consult, talk to them, understand, you know, you need some help with something, why your kids are missing school. You know, sometimes DCF is not the answer. You know, just like they want to arrest people for a mask, they, you know, they want to give you a fine and then take you to jail the second time. It's just too much. But my question is, are they doing that inside of the upper echelon, you know, wealthy communities as well? Because you're going to have a wealthy person that he's jogging and he just don't want to wear his mask. He's jogging already, you know. Are you guys going to find him and take him to jail? Or he's privileged? It's ridiculous. Sorry, I got sidetracked a little bit there.
No problem. But
that's pretty big to get DCF involved with the family because the child missed school, but we're under a large pandemic watch.
Well, you know, talking about that, let's just jump somewhere, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but this is the first time I heard this. And I had to read and investigate it. The young 15-year-old girl up in Michigan, Bruce, she got put in jail because she didn't do her homework. Of course, she's African-American, so everyone, the Black Lives Matter group, are having a fit. And the judge who put her in jail said that she was put in jail because fusses and fights with her mother, so she's protecting the mother by putting this young girl in jail because she didn't do her homework.
That doesn't even sound right.
Bruce, what's going on up in Michigan?
It's like everything else, it gets partially reported and skewed left and right and upside down. No, she should not be in. And I don't care if she did 10 times her homework or didn't do homework for 5 years. You don't put somebody in jail for that. So there's rumors up here there was more to it than that, or mother wanted to teach her less. I don't know the details in that regard. All I do know based on those comments is we haven't heard the whole story. And people, even if we did, they will cherry pick the pieces of the story to defend the position they want to be in versus, yes, she should go or no, she shouldn't. But, I mean, I can't see a 15-year-old doing anything heinous enough when it comes to homework or schooling that she should be in jail just as a lesson, because we all know that something as innocent as that, say, if she wanted to teach her lessons here, I don't know, that can follow her the rest of her life. Oh, you were in jail. Well, that was a joke. Well, it's not a joke because it's right here on your record.
You know?
Yeah, you can't. You just can't do that. That's silly.
They tell us if she was a black minority or whatever, you know, they say, oh, go apply for a police job. This is a prime example of something that wasn't even warranted to go to jail. And I don't even think the judge should have made this decision. Because even if a parent says, oh, I want my child to learn a lesson, you're the judge. You understand what if this parent is not even competent enough to understand what's going on? Because you got to understand, we have kids having kids nowadays. We don't even know how old this mother is. Is she right. Irrational and an ethical person? You know, she might just, she's tired of raising kids. She want to be a young lady again. Who knows? It could be so many reasons. If she said so, of why she would want her kid out of the house, you know?
And ultimately, if that parent is too young to understand or incompetent, as you said, or in some way can't make an informed decision, an appropriate decision, then the judge should. And I can't envision a judge on any type of child thinking that's the right thing to do. I mean, on his or her own. I got to, you know, if the parents aren't competent, then the judge needs to step in and make the right
exactly.
decision. I just,
because I think we skipped a few steps before jail.
Yeah. Like I said, up here, you get bits and pieces of the story and then they cherry pick it. It's wrong. It's silly. It's wrong.
Right. But the thing is, my whole, you know, my side of judges, courts aren't like they used to be. And all these TV judges are on talking to people like you're crazy and performing for cameras. So all the judges, it seems to me, are trying to fit in this format. Courts aren't like courts used to be, like law only.
Yeah.
They're not like that anymore. You go to court, we don't like you. You undo your arms. We don't like you standing like that. That's, you know,
the judge gets sassy with you.
Pardon me?
I said the judge gets sassy with you as well.
Yeah.
You know?
It's gotten court is law has gotten strange. But anyway, I think I want to say for all the people that are listening, if you want to join this conversation, call us at 646-668-8740. But I want something that happened that I thought was the way the world is going right now, the way the United States is going right now, we got 100 days before we elect the next president or continue with the one we have. One of the things that jumped out at me was the president of the United States not listening to the mayor or the governor of a couple of states and coming through out to for people that are protesting. Breonna Taylor, for example, in Louisville, that protest. So the president of the United States saying those people are terrorists. So that he didn't ask the governor and the mayor. The mayors and the governor are saying we don't want these troops here, but he sent them anyway. So that to me is looks like a kind of a dictatorship, or what's going on? Don, what do you think about that?
You said the word. You said it right. It's called dictator. He associates with Putin and the rest of the dictators all over the world. He wants to be a dictator. Well, this is a democracy country, and he has no right to send in troops in Democratic regions. They're Democratic regions. They're not Republican regions. He's playing politics. He's playing dictator. He's defocusing people away from what's really important, the election, the pandemic, things that really matter. He's lost touch with reality. I wouldn't be surprised if he resigned because he knows he's going to lose, and he hates losing. So
wow.
I'm very short on what I'm saying because I want to be short and exact from now to the election. I'm going to be short and exact so we can play the tape back.
This is Michael. Can I weigh in on that, please?
Yes, go ahead.
In my personal opinion, I think he is really, really in his mind trying to become a dictator because, like the gentleman just said, he's so close with Putin. He's so close with, well, he admires Kim Jong-un. All the dictators he admires. And he's taking gradual steps, sending those troops into those democratic territories. He's just putting his toe in the water. That's all he's doing is testing the water to see if this works. And it looks like it works. So I think he's just getting started. I mean, let's remember, Hitler was elected just like Donald Trump was. Hitler was in office 2 or 3 years, and he dipped his toe in the water on a few issues to see if they worked, and they worked, and he continued pushing forward. I think Donald Trump is pushing forward towards dictatorship. I think it's pretty obvious.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there are a lot. First of all, he's not breaking any laws. The president has every right to send federal troops into federal properties. As a matter of fact, there are already federal agents in every state, every city. So what he's doing is he's protecting federal property. That's not being a dictator. When the governor or the mayor refuses to protect the property and the persons in their city, then it's called upon for the president to go in and make sure, at least at the very least, that the federal properties are being protected. Lawlessness is taking place in these cities, guys. It's not just throwing bottles and hitting cops, and you're trying to break into federal courthouses and federal buildings, and you're trying to set them on fire, and you're looting and you're robbing. There needs to be somebody to come in. And even the citizens, the business owners, they're calling for help. Because their government has failed them. And anybody who says that the president is wrong for wanting to do that, let it happen to your business. Let your business or your home be destroyed and looted and set on fire. And the police stand idly by and the mayor stand idly by and do nothing. Like the little girl, the kids who've been killed because the mayors and the police departments have been told to stand down. If one of those children were yours and the cops stood by and did nothing, I don't think you'd be saying Donald Trump was a dictator or comparing him to Hitler. Hitler killed people. Donald Trump is trying to protect lives. That comparison is so ludicrous to me when people say Hitler. When Hitler wanted to be a dictator, Donald Trump is far from that because what he wants is freedom for everybody. And he wants everybody to be able to pursue whatever their happiness is. So the president has every right, every authority to protect the federal properties and protect people when the mayors and the government, those local governments, fail to do so. So if they don't want the president to come in, step your game up. Protect your citizens. Protect the taxpayers. Protect the business owners. And have peaceful protests, and then you wouldn't have this.
All right, let me say, I know Michael got steam coming out of his ear right now, but I'm going to go to Ron, and then I'll be back to Michael. Ron, what are your thoughts on this?
I can visualize that too, Michael. I'm torn on this one. I agree with what Darius and to some regards, but I think that the local governments need to be given the opportunity to take care of their local problems first. And I don't, unfortunately, I don't have enough information on this. So I don't know. All I know is that I've heard one governor, and I forget what state it was, criticizing, the bringing in of the federal troops, because she said that we can handle our own problems ourselves. So if they need to be given the opportunity locally to take care of the problems before federal forces use. I understand what you're saying, Darius, that, federal property needs to be protected. And I understand also, protesting and lawlessness are different, And I'm sure everybody on this call is 100% opposed to squashing protesters, because that would be equivalent to what's going on in Hong Kong and the Chinese government going in and taking care of the protesters however they want to do that. So that's what I have to say on this matter.
They've had 60 days almost to get this under control. The Chinese government was squashing peaceful protesters. They weren't rioters. They weren't looters. They weren't arsonists. It's a big difference when people just generalize protesters. Nobody has a problem with you protesting in a public square, but you're hitting police officers with bats and sticks and rocks and burning stuff down and looting businesses.
And lasers.
That's not
and
the same thing.
Else.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the same thing happening here. We have the same thing happening here in Florida, and there's no troops sent into Florida. What areas or where they have Republican governors or Republican mayors are there troops sent in?
That kind of mayhem isn't going on in the Republican held.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can I respond? This is Michael. I want to respond to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
First, in response to Darius's comment, I'm going to start by quoting the great Harriet Tubman. She said, she freed 1,000 slaves. She probably could have freed 1,000 more had they only known they were slaves. I think Donald Trump sending these federal troops is dictatorship on so many levels because, as one of the speakers just said, there's so many different levels of security that you can send in to protect those buildings. I'm in California. We got Highway Patrol. We got state troopers. We got LAPD. I can go on and on with police forces. We got military locally and state military to defend those properties. You do not have to send the federal government in to defend those properties, okay? So the fact that he's sending them in to democratically ran territory only is not a dog whistle. It's clear and obvious what he's doing. He's getting his Hitler on. That's all he's doing. Okay? He's trying to take over the country in a form of dictatorship. He started by pardoning people he could pardon to see how far he could go with that. Went well for him. He started by saying, can he get impeached? It worked for him. He didn't get impeached. Hey, that worked. He's checking off all the Hitler boxes one by one. And if you can't see it, I mean, it's clear what he's doing. It just saddens me that you can't see that.
All right.
Michael? Let's look at one city that was already called out that seems to be at least the worst for the longest. That's Portland. 60 days now in a row, every single night, I'll even call it protesting, but violent protesting. Ron and Michael, if they're doing something local to fix it, what are they doing, and why is it taking 60 days to get it under control? I mean, the president's saying, look, guys, you've had plenty of time. If you're doing something, it sure isn't working. So I'm going to step in, and I have the responsibility of keeping United States citizens and the federal property safe and secure. So what are they doing if it's 60 days nonstop?
Because it's 60 days nonstop of protesting. It's not 60 days nonstop of tearing up federal property.
It's 60 days of violence, Michael.
From day one, Michael, it's been violence from day one.
No, yeah. The violence is what Fox News is showing you guys, so that's what you think. But I'm in LA where we protest all the time. I go to tons of protests that are just peaceful, and I never see Fox News there. Never once do I see Fox News there. So you guys are just basing your facts on right-wing media. You're quoting talking points. That's all you're doing.
So they're staging the looting and the burning down of buildings.
Yeah, they're staging it.
All staged.
For 60 days, you're telling me they're doing that for 60 days?
For yes. 60 days, yes, sir.
No way. No way. No way. No way. No
yes,
way.
Sir.
No
from
way.
Day, okay. From the first day, they were looting and burning down buildings.
I'll tell you what. I'll pay for your plane ticket. Let's me and you fly there together and we meet there. How about that?
I want a ticket.
There he is. Me and you. That's my challenge to you. Me and you.
Wow.
I have no desire to go to Portland, Seattle.
Exactly. You guys have no desire
to
do anything but that talking point to throw red meat to your base.
Yeah, Republicans.
So Michael, what are we seeing? What are we seeing on the news then? What are these deaths and these lootings and what is that? And they staged all of that? Because Fox News can't create it. So where is this coming from?
So it's something that the local police cannot handle at all, huh?
They haven't been. They haven't thus far.
Yeah, that's what we're asking. What have they done to curb it? It's
so
still going on.
Did the National Guard go in, or was it the National Guard, or is the actual army?
Well, when you say it's going on, you're talking with protests. Yeah, the protests are going on, absolutely. The violence and the looting and the destroying property is not going on. It's not. It does happen, I'll admit, but it's not to the point where you have to send the feds in. Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's not ridiculous because it's happening.
Well,
I'll believe you, Michael, over my eyes. I'll take your word for it, but I guess what I'm looking at is something totally different. So I don't know what you're watching, but
I'm watching being there with my own two eyes. You're watching it on TV on Fox News. That's the difference.
Well, and also, guys, whatever side you're on, both the let's call it the ABC, NBC, CBS. Are not showing any of it. And as you said, Michael, Fox is showing, you're basically saying, showing all the violence. So neither one of those positions are right. It would be nice if all the stations showed all of what's going on. But you can't deny, as Darius said, they're not fabricating the violence. Let's not call it protest then. Let's call that segment of it violence. Whatever you want to call it, it's not proper. It's not appropriate protesting. It's violence and destruction of property and human life. That's going on.
All right, guys, hold on a second. Let me get Don. Don, that, you got in the background noise coming from your line, radio or something going on. All right. I wanted to, we only got 15 minutes left in the show. We spent 45 talking about this other stuff, but one of the things that I want to talk about, we've got a couple of comments on. Please talk about the stimulus bill that's supposed to be coming up, which also has a moratorium on evictions. It's supposed to be the same amount of money. It's supposed to be faster. So my question is, they're putting billions and billions of dollars in the stimulus money out there. And to me, in the back of my mind, so we've had all this money all this time, billions and billions of dollars, but we ruined a lot of people graduating from college because they couldn't pay their loans back. So we've had money to help, but we're just now starting to help people. I mean, why didn't we help the people who needed the help, especially in terms of trying to educate our community? I don't understand. Ron, what do you think? Why do you think the government never, all this money has been there, trillions and trillions of dollars that they're spending on stimulus in that way to make the president look good or the government look good right now. Why didn't we help? Why haven't we helped the community up to now, at this point? What do you think? Not answering? Okay, what about you, Spencer? What do you think? Hello? Hello.
I'm here. David, it's just Michael. I'm here.
Well, let me hear your comment.
This is Darius. I'm here.
Where,
I'm here.
Okay.
Well, Michael, Pardon me? Who's that? Jeremiah?
No, I was just saying I'm here too. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question? Because I thought it was towards Jeremiah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremiah. Go ahead. I don't know where
somebody go. I don't know what's taking him so long to do anything, but I just felt like I know things have to get approved, honestly. But it's been such a long time since the last stimulus, and they haven't situated the amount of problems that exist because of COVID-19. So, you know, they just situated as far as, a stipend for just to, here's some money to take care of yourself, but it's a lot of issues that came along with it because the country's been debilitated for a while. So I don't know if they're waiting longer and trying to spend less. I don't know what it is, honestly.
All right. Anyway,
part of it, David and Jeremiah, is at least if we end up getting some back to each individual, they're going to do it more as a proration of your salary, percentage of your salary, to try and cut off at the pass the idea that it's a stimulus to stay home. They don't want – you've heard that. That's been on the news a lot, that they want to set the formula in some way that there's no stimulus to stay home.
All right. Something that came out in the news recently, especially this morning, and I'm curious, and I want to have this conversation with you guys. It seems that China just recently offered – $1 billion loan to Latin America and Caribbean for their to have access to its COVID-19 vaccine. I was not aware that there was a COVID-19 vaccine, and I don't know why. It obviously must be doing something for China to offer a $1 billion loan to get their hands on it. What do you think, Bruce? Are you aware of this? Did you hear about this?
Well, I've heard rumblings about that, but I haven't heard that they have a vaccine, but they're kind of implying we're close, so get on board kind of thing. That's all I've heard. I don't think anybody is, got it far enough out of the starting gate with enough field testing or pre-testing or whatever it is they have to do to get through the clearinghouse, so to speak, and make it safe for people to use. And that includes China. Now, whether they decide that, well, we don't care, we're gonna try it on people right now, and we can do that if we want. I don't know what China's doing, but we know in the United States we try not to use people as guinea pigs until it's at least safe enough to have volunteers. And I think that's where they are right now.
But I would find it's very surprising to say China is giving away $1 billion and have not done some research. Obviously,
right. There's
something about it that the United States has not gotten involved in, or Europe. But that doesn't surprise me that China, who got blamed for putting the virus out there, is now offering $1 billion. But it's not giving them $1 billion. It's a loan for $1 billion. And it's for the Caribbean and Latin America. And Brazil is one of the highest numbers. Where is that? So I'm concerned. What does that mean? Are they farther down the line with a vaccine than anybody else? I'm just trying to think what that is. Do you know anything about that, Don?
Yes, David. It's a situation where, like I said before, this virus disproportionately affects people of color, and that population is a great testing ground, a great sampling ground to experiment with. And the Chinese have been very strategic in dominating third world countries and the Caribbean market. You go to Nassau and you'll see that the casinos are owned by Chinese, where they used to have stake with local people, even in Freeport Grand Bahama, which we represent the Bahamas, that area was devastated. The casinos are owned by the Chinese. So It's a drop in the bucket for them to give $1 billion to say, when we get a vaccine, I want to do some testing on you.
Wow. All right, guys. Spencer, let's talk about sports a little bit. Spencer, do you like Mike Ditka?
I like who?
Mike Ditka.
Oh, Mike Ditka. From the Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, recently Mike Ditka was in an interview and they asked him about NFL players kneeling down. Mike Ditka said, and I quote him, "If you can't respect our national anthem, get the hell out of this country and go back to where you came from." Isn't that kind of a racist comment? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is kind of racist there, you know, because it's you imply that he's talking about African Americans only, you know, especially since we're the ones doing the kneeling the most. Not to, even though there's others doing the kneeling also, but yeah, that's definitely not politically correct to say in these type of times, because it would say that you're talking about African Americans.
Well, he generalized it. If you kneel, you know, wherever you came from, if you kneel down, you need to go back where you came from.
Yeah, David, I saw that statement, and it really bothered me because I was a Mike Ditka fan. And my reply to that, and to everyone who tells us African Americans if we're not happy to get out, I say that we will gladly leave once you pay us the reparations you owe us for the 200 years of free labor we gave you.
Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm glad you called on me. I've a long time ago, I met Mike Ditka when he was in his heyday, and he's a crusty guy, even back then. You all know that. And I didn't hear the quote, but my guess, based on what I know of the man, is we automatically go to black and white. Ditka is pissed. And I knew we did automatically, I'll bet you money, he didn't say, if you're kneeling and you're black, go back to where you came from, because a black person could say, I came from right here. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm not going anywhere. I doubt that he said that. So why do we always have to go to that? Yes, the majority of the athletes are black, but they're not all black. There's Chinese, there's white, there's other colors, other nationalities. Why do we always have to make it race? I know we've got a lot of race problems. We do, and we need to fix a lot of them, but we're not going to fix them by taking this kind of attitude all the time. I'm not defending him. I'm just trying to figure out, he was probably just pissed to see someone burn a flag, to see somebody kneel at the national anthem, and other ways of protesting. These us old vintage people, that upsets them because they're still close enough to the wars that went on to know that a lot of people of every color and every nationality died to protect the United States dream, method, and approach to life. And those are some of the sacred symbols. So, yeah, I'm sure he was pissed, but I'll bet you money he didn't make it a racist statement unless you show me that's what he said, because I didn't hear it.
All right.
Well, Bruce, let me ask you this. Does what happened to Breonna Taylor, does that piss you off as much as a guy taking a knee for a flag?
That happened to who?
Breonna Taylor, that's the young woman who was shot and killed in her sleep by the police officers in Kentucky.
That's despicable. That's terrible.
But which one angers you more? I'm curious. Taking a knee for the flag or what happened to Breonna Taylor, Tamir Rice, Mike Brown? Which one angers you more?
You know the answer to that. Anything that takes a human life is a lot more serious than kneeling or burning or disrespect, but that doesn't make the other any less important from the standpoint of what.
Well, why don't you and your side show the same kind of vitriol, the anger towards the Breonna Taylors that you show for the kneeling for the flag? Why don't you show equal anger for both?
Why don't Why is it just anger over certain black youth or black people? There's a lot of other black gentlemen, family members out there being killed. You don't hear about all of those. Why is it picking and choosing? Is it to make a statement or what? So none of that is right. I'm not defending any of it, but there's cherry picking going on to make a point all over the place. Let me along those lines. Let me ask you guys all this because I'd like to hear your reaction. You're hearing a lot of people say Black Lives Matter is a terrible terrorist group. However, other people say it's lives that are black matter. I totally agree with that, 1,000%. But why can't we turn it into your life matters and my life matters? Why does it have to be color related? I'll bet you money that there's out there, particularly even the group, not the people, the group, Black Lives Matter, would not like that. And I think that's a slogan that means a lot more and diffuses some of this argument. Your life matters, Michael. My life matters. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
The reason
you're
why
not a risk being shot by a cop, reason, and I am.
Wow. I'm shocked right now.
What's that?
The reason why is historically black lives have not mattered.
They've had it much rougher. I agree with you on that. So if that's what you mean by not matter, then I have to agree with you. But it's not the only life that matters. There's if you want to advance the cause.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Why do the what is it called, guys?
LGBTQ
of initials. Yeah,
there's
five initials now.
What do you say to the people that says that LGBTQ matters? What do you say to them?
What do I say to them?
Yeah,
they matter.
You got something to say to the people that say Black Lives Matter. So what do you say to the LGBTQ community?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I know you don't want to hear the phrase. That's why.
No. I want you to answer the question.
I'm trying to. All lives matter. LGBT, Black, Chinese, Caucasian, they all do. And I know what you're saying, but you know why they put some specifics on it?
Because those are the people that are having the problem more than others.
Hey, Bruce, so on 9/11, if we all go, hey, all buildings matter, would that be cool? Or do we got to think about
what's
the
that?
Twin Towers? Or could we just go, all buildings matter?
That?
But why does 9/11 matter? It could be 11/11.
Yeah, exactly, Bruce, exactly.
Well, why does 9/11 matter? It was... We've kind of put a stake in the ground when that happened because that was one of the first of the major attacks.
But all days matter.
Country.
What are you talking about?
But
all days matter.
No,
right?
It's called Bruce. It's called a
yeah,
title.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
yes.
just say that. It's a
it
title.
Was all kinds of lives that died in that heinous act. You're right. All lives matter.
You know,
matter.
Every day matters.
Why pick
that name, day?
Just like if you decide to open a business today, if you decide to call your grandbaby a name today, you want to call her fat, little one, whatever. Anybody can make up a name of an organization that's targeting specific problems, concerns, whatever it is. I don't understand why there's an issue. Why do they have to name something that you feel comfortable with?
All right, gentlemen. We're going to get out of a few seconds. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, no. The only point I was trying to make is if the organization, that's what people are careful to say that now. You may disagree with it, but the organization has been taken hostage. Black Lives Matter, the organization, loose that it may be, is different than Black Lives That Matter. The phrase is now identifying a group that a lot of people feel are hijacking the original cause that was a good one.
Not a lot of people, just the people that watch Fox News.
Well, just
there's good people
that's Black Lives Matter, and there's bad people. And guess what? In any
that's
other
right.
group, there are good people and bad people as well.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I want to thank everybody who's listening to us right now. I see a bunch of people online. got 10 seconds. So we want to thank you, and we'll be back again next week, but we want more of you calling in.
David, do I have time to say one more thing? Nobody said anything about John Lewis. John Lewis was an icon. We needed more people like him, just like Martin Luther King.
All right. We'll talk to you again next
week.
Just
don't need more people like Dicta, Mr. Dicta.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not.
It's only-